Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Including You, the new series from Lead at Any Level. Including You features stories from chief diversity officers and other executives who are creating inclusive cultures in their organizations. Our goal is to show what's working in companies just like yours, to give you the tools you need to keep pushing for progress in your own workplace. We want to create belonging and opportunity for everyone, including you. And now here's your host, Amy C. Wanninger.
Welcome back to Including You. I'm your host, Amy C. Wanninger, the Inclusion Catalyst. My guest today is Bianca Chanel Mays. She's the Director of Black Health Equity for Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Planned Parenthood is a trusted healthcare provider, an informed educator, a passionate advocate, and a global partner with skilled healthcare professionals at nearly 600 health centers nationwide. Bianca, welcome to the show.
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here with you virtually.
I am so excited to talk to you about inclusion at the intersection of healthcare, and especially where Planned Parenthood is concerned. Can you tell us a little bit about the importance of and why Black health equity is such a priority for Planned Parenthood?
Absolutely. I'm really excited to talk about this. As a Black queer identified woman, this effort, this organization has really aligned with my personal values, and I'm really excited about how we really began our health equity journey. But when I got started here about 3 years ago, I had to create a health equity strategy that was going to shape the components and the directions of our Federation's long-range goals and our strategic plan within the national office. And so my team and I, we were able to really ground our health equity framework in different approach or three frameworks: reproductive justice, Black feminism, and health equity. These frameworks guide PP's commitment to prioritizing health equity in general, but also specifically Black health equity and dismantling systemic barriers that disproportionately impact Black communities and others facing the greatest disparities. We really understand that everyone benefits when we center and invest in health and overall wellness of Black women, girls, and gender expansive people. And so Planned Parenthood has made a $50 million commitment to advancing health equity, again, for Black women, Black girls, trans and non-binary folks. This work is created on the premise that with our reach and infrastructure of nearly 600 health centers nationwide, we can tackle some of the deepest inequities for Black women, girls, and gender expansive people. And we're going to be doing this through a community-centric investment that's going to fuel better outcomes for our patients, and that we will be focusing on what we do best, obviously, sexual and reproductive health care. And we decided to do this because we've seen generations of systemic racism, homophobia, transphobia, and other systems of oppression have really impacted folks in the healthcare industry, but specifically Black folks, so that they have worse sexual and reproductive health outcomes than non-Black people. And so we have to look at the interconnectedness of gender and race, socioeconomic status, and health outcomes. And we know that specifically with Black feminism, that highlights the intersections of race and gender and health disparities. And basically, it's able to emphasize the need for addressing these structural inequities and discrimination. And as Planned Parenthood, we have a responsibility to be able to think critically about how we can utilize our reach, our impact for Black people, for brown people, for queer and trans folks, for everyone. But essentially, when Black women and trans and non-binary and girls win, we all win.
I would imagine, as I think about this initiative, I see it as a stool with three legs. One being a healthcare component, one being a community education component, and one being a public policy and advocacy component. Is that about right? And if so, what's the mix of your focus within those different areas? Because those are all really big jobs.
This is absolutely true. And I enjoy this mix, right? I definitely think, again, with intersectionality in mind, that being able to focus in on one specific area, you're not going to be successful. We know you have to have a different approach, an intersected approach. And so the things that we're really focusing on, we're going to be forging strong, sustainable relationships and partners with communities and stakeholders so that we can be able to leverage our collective power for the benefit of Black health equity. We're going to be, again, utilizing our infrastructure and looking at the feasibility and value of centering Black health equity. We envision a world where people are able to get access to their care. And so we are going to be working with a diverse group of folks that can help us achieve that. I'm talking mental health providers, reproductive justice partners, folks that are advocating on the ground, people in academia. We're thinking of engaging folks there. We're thinking of engaging folks that are just all around trying to advance health equity within a public health perspective. And of course, that would include eventually education, care, research, and policy.
And so can you explain a little bit about where you are in terms of this journey? Are you right at the beginning? Are you a few steps in? And what have you been doing so far up to this point?
Yeah, this is such a great question. This movement is something that we've been working on this year, and we're moving with such intention, right? So let me just take a step back here. We wanted to specifically think about how we wanted to go about this opportunity. Originally, when we were awarded the $50 million gift from Mackenzie Scott, that was back in 2022. And the board, PPFA's board of directors, passed a resolution that April to earmark the money, the gift, to seed fund this long-term change initiative. From that moment, we've been building momentum. We have been, We received the gift in January of 2022, and then April is when the board said this is going to be earmarked specifically for Black health equity. Then in June 2022, we had a fantastic convening. We met with Black subject matter experts and CEOs across our federation because we knew that this was a priority and having leadership commitment is really important. And then the Dobbs decision came in and really impacted us in a way that slowed our momentum down a little bit, because obviously we had to rearrange resources and staff to be able to address the moment. And then we reconvened back in March of 2023. So earlier this year, we had a Black CEO convening in Los Angeles. This convening was really important because our Planned Parenthood Los Angeles affiliate, PPFA, or PPLA, excuse me, They already have a Black health equity initiative, and they were able to set up a fantastic community center, and they serve as one of the many options that we can see across our federation. We also had a PPFA transformation, so the organization also had to transform different roles and folks, which also brought in a lot of different perspectives as to how we wanted to evaluate our current offerings across the federation. And then in August, my boss, Kersha Dybul, the senior director or senior advisor, excuse me, of the Black Health Equity Initiative, she was the former CEO and president of PP Southwest Ohio. She came on board, and she has a direct connection to our president and CEO, Alexis McGill Johnson, and together they are helping to really shape what this effort will be. And then that leads us to now, where from October to January, we will be going to different affiliates across our federation, primarily in the Midwest and South, and visiting them to understand our current health equity efforts. We've had milestones that we've been hitting along the way, and I'm excited that with the upcoming new year, that we'll be thinking critically about the methodology and the interventions that we'd like to offer through this initiative.
And I would imagine too that the diversity of the people that you serve, the nation is very diverse, not just in terms of demographics, but also in terms of geography, accessibility. I would imagine that equity looks different. I imagine equity looks different in Southwest Ohio than it does in Northern Alabama, and much different from, Northern Alabama to LA. How do you put measurements or metrics around the success of an initiative like this?
That's such a great question. Something that I always am telling people as one of my greatest areas of opportunity here is looking at what we offer across the Federation. We have 49 affiliates, like you said earlier, nearly 600 health centers. And so when we think about measuring health equity, we're actually right now that would be accurate. That would truly represent the breadth and depth of our entire federation. I hope that as we are designing our measurements, that we will be considerate of some of the current data entry points that we currently already have. So use of Ruskini, Climate and Belonging Survey. We'll also be mindful of different kinds of measurement that's not going to be traditional because again, we want to be mindful that not all measurement works for all communities, not all metrics work for all communities. The thing we're really looking forward to is meeting with these subject matter experts, meeting with folks in academia, meeting with folks in population health and data to be able to examine critically what should we measure, how should we do it in a way that would be a little bit new for Planned Parenthood.
I think this initiative is absolutely, first of all, groundbreaking, and second, fascinating. When I think about how big and complex and important, critically important it is, there are not enough people, there are not enough organizations, there are not enough entities that are being proactive or even in a lot of cases reactive around equity for Black women, girls, and gender expansive folks. And I'm so glad you guys are on the case, right? Because what you do so well, and you do in ways that are so inclusive of the community at large and available to people who may not know what options are available to them.
It's have to achieve health equity. Every person needs their needs met so that they can live their best life, their best, fullest, and healthiest life. That includes big picture needs, healthcare, accurate information, peer and professional support, but also more specific needs like healthy foods, secure shelter, clean environment to live and work and play in, a source of income. We people, healthcare providers, we have to think about how we have to empower folks so that they can own their health and wellness on a personal level. And we know that there are societal influences that can affect the health of folks and entire communities negatively, positively. Again, we have a very unique country in which we've had the impact of systemic racism, and it's created differences in healthcare and housing, environmental safety, and more between different communities, particularly Black communities and others, racial and ethnic minority communities. Just personally, I grew up in a town that faced redlining and racial segregation. And I think about how that has influenced me in my work. I think about how it has influenced my family and my friends and my local community, which I don't live that far from. And so I think as a whole, as a healthcare industry, shoot, as an industry in general, if you are offering care, services, et cetera, for folks, for customers, patients, whatever you want to call them, I think we have to deepen our efforts in ways that are uncomfortable in ways that are going to challenge the status quo, challenge what we're used to doing, and be able to get up to speed with where we are now. We are going to be one of the most diverse countries. We are going to be a country that is going to continue to have a shortened life expectancy, varying health care outcomes if we do not intervene. I think this is one of the most critical moments in history, in the history of healthcare, if I'm honest with you, because a lot of folks on the ground, we've chatted about this, have been advocating for change and realizing that, hey, this current offering doesn't work. And so again, we have a responsibility as Planned Parenthood, and we hope we're learning from other organizations that are also taking or have done this work, and we're hoping to encourage others. Maybe folks will listen to this episode and get inspired to go back to their own organizations and think about, like, how are we showing up in these spaces in a way that is, again, disrupting the narrative that we can't change to meet the moment of and the need of where we are.
Absolutely. It is critical. And as you and I have talked about several times now, there's this moment of opportunity. But if we miss it, it might be really hard to get it back. Bianca, I want to thank you so much for sharing your expertise, your experience, and your insights with my friends. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. I had so much fun chatting with you. This doesn't even feel like work. It just feels like an informal conversation with a friend.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you.
You're welcome.
If you've enjoyed this episode, follow Lead at Any Level on LinkedIn and YouTube. Then join us for Including You video simulcast every Thursday at noon Eastern. Including You can also be enjoyed each week as part of the Living Corporate audio podcast series, available on all major podcast platforms. Learn more at living-corporate.com. Including You is brought to you in part by Lead at Any Level, a boutique training and consulting firm improving employee engagement and retention for companies that promote from within. Lead at Any Level. Leaders can be anywhere and should be everywhere. Learn more at leadatanylevel.com. Lead at Any Level and its logo are registered trademarks of Lead at Any Level LLC. The views and opinions of guests on our show do not necessarily reflect the positions of Lead at Any Level, Living Corporate, or the sponsors of Including You.
That's it for this week's edition of Including You. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a comment or a review to let us know what you liked about this episode and to help others find us as well. Be sure to join me next week when my guest will be Dr. Charisse Bernard from Invitae.